Welcome to Killchain, a platform cybersecurity and technology podcast presented by Fleet Defender. I'm your host, Marcus Q, and with me today, I have CEO and cybersecurity expert, Terry Reinert.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
All right. Well, today we're going to be talking about how a back office IT breach can affect your fleet and how a cybersecurity incident in the back office can affect the trucks rolling down the road. So let's get into it. Terry, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to be back on.
So we are going off of an article from FreightWaves, as well as some conversations that we've had all about protecting your back office enterprise network and how that's important for protecting your fleet vehicles from a network breach as well. And so where I want to start us today is talking about back office network breaches. You know, what are some of the most common breaches that are out there today for back office networks?
Oh, there's probably a lot. I think like the most common right now is, you know, ransomware, someone clicking on a link that they shouldn't. And then that opening the door for the adversary to get into the network, start encrypting stuff and then hold your ransom.
Yeah. I mean, phishing emails, phishing text messages. It's like every kind of phishing possible is out there now. I don't know how many texts a day I get.
Oh, my gosh. Like some of the phishing ones are funny too, because like I'll get a thing that's just like, oh, Fleet Defender voicemail, click on this to hear it. I'm like, dude, we don't even have a phone system. Like, we don't use that. Like the attackers did not do their homework properly.
Yeah. My favorite texts that I get are, hi, this is Terry. Please do this thing immediately for me. Click this link. It's like they're impersonating other people and it's never right.
Well, what's funny is every time we onboard a new employee, I have to sit down and be like, okay, listen, I am never going to send a file via email. Like, we have a file system for that. Like, you're never going to get a text message or this or that. Like, this is how we communicate. This is what we do. If you hear anything from anyone, don't click on it, please.
Yeah. I'm never going to ask you to buy gift cards.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like there's, well, I mean, unless it's like one person, but then they handle all the birthday gifts for the office employees. So maybe that one person, but the rest, no.
So during a breach, let's talk about ransomware or a malware breach. From your experience being in the cybersecurity field, what happens during a breach? Is it something where, you know, in the movies, all the computers flash some logo of the criminal enterprise and all the computers shut down? But what really happens during a breach of a, you know, back office network?
Well, it really depends on like who the adversary is and what they're trying to do. But like the thing to remember is that like by the time you get to that ransomware screen, right, where every computer shows the logo, it's like send X number of Bitcoin to here, or like we're gonna like not give you your files back. What they do before that is they actually steal all your data. They don't just encrypt it, they steal it. Right. So like at that point, it's already like kind of game over. Your information's out there. Somebody is now mining that for whatever reason, or they're going to sell it to somebody who's going to be interested. You know, like, so if you're a carrier and you're hauling something in the United States and you get ransomware, like the way you do business, the way you operate your contracts, like your data, all that stuff could be sold off to, you know, trucking companies in Iran or North Korea or China or something, right? That they could then use that data to then compete against you or to make their own business better. You know, like, so it's not just like the adversaries aren't just making money on ransomwaring your computers and making you pay. They're going to take all your data and they're going to sell that too. They're going to mine that to like get as much money of that as possible. And that could be very detrimental to your business.
And that usually happens before you even know anything has happened. Is that right?
Correct. Mm. That's correct. Yeah. Because they're in there, like by the time you get to the ransomware screen, like they've been in your network for a long time.
Oof. Yeah. That's a scary thought to think about. And it's about to get scarier. Because, you know, when we're talking about this article and some of the conversations we've had, it's really, okay, so a back office network gets breached. How could that affect the actual fleet vehicles? You know, is that a possibility where they can jump from an IT system to an OT system?
Absolutely. And we've seen it in multiple other domains. I mean, let's look at this idea of like IT/OT convergence, like within the industrial control space, right? Like you have these systems that are not IT systems. So they're not running Ethernet. They're not, they don't have like normal processors like your laptops and your computers do. They're very specially designed, like programmable logic controllers or PLCs or whatever, running in a substation at a power grid, right? That were never meant to be connected, but because of like optimization and efficiency and climate control or environmental concerns, like all these other reasons, we start connecting them to networks and we start like actually taking data from them and sending it up to your enterprise network. Well, if you attack the substation and get into there, you can then go up in back office IT systems through a trusted VPN channel, and vice versa. You could do the opposite too. And they say there's like, well, we've got data diodes, we've got like firewalls, we've got this, we've got that. But guess what? All those systems designed by humans also have flaws in them that could then be used to go from an IT network down to an OT network. Well, it's the same thing, right? Like you've got these connected assets that are out there, right? And like you can't physically protect them because they're meant to be on the road, or they sit in parking lots, or they're at truck stops or wherever they may be parked outside somebody's home. And that is a viable attack vector because it is connected to your back office through telematics, through this, through that, like all these different connections and stuff. And not only that, but they're also connected to, you know, Cummins or other tier one manufacturers that are also got connectivity in that vehicle to monitor their devices, their engines, their telematics boxes, their this, their that. So like, it's not just people looking at your truck or your vehicle as a way to get into your network. Your vehicle could also get them into other people's networks as well.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I was thinking this as the path of, you know, getting first into the IT network and then going to a truck or a vehicle. But really, it can be the other way, is that that's almost the Trojan horse.
Yeah, it could be both. And I mean, the thing is like, where is an attacker going to attack, right? Like if you're wearing armor that covers your chest, am I going to try to punch you in the chest? No way. Like that's going to hurt. But if your face is unprotected, then go for the face, right? Like that's just common sense. Attackers do it the same way. Like cyber criminals do the same thing. Like we're not going to attack the thing that is most guarded. We're going to attack the thing that nobody's looking at. You know, like even that famous Target breach, like they went through an HVAC contractor's login. They didn't go after Target, you know, IT network. They didn't go through the firewall. They went through the path of least resistance where nobody was looking, and they snuck in, and then they pivoted through the network until they got to the point of sale terminals where they could start stealing all the credit card information and all the other stuff, right? Same thing. Like I'm not going to go after, you know, Caterpillar's IT network. They've got, I mean, and I know some of the guys on that team, like they're amazing. They've got an awesome cyber team on their IT side, right? Like you're not going to get through that. It'd take you forever. But like a connected bulldozer at a mine in Australia that like nobody's around. Now that's an interesting attack vector.
Wow. Yeah, it's a little bit terrifying, but it's good that there's solutions being created out there. So,
right. I mean, and that's the crazy thing, right? Like you don't have to hack a truck to drive it off a road, right? Like that might not be your reason for making that attack. Like you might be trying to get to some intellectual property stored on a server in Microsoft Cloud, you know, Azure Cloud or something in like some carrier's network, or you like might be trying to get to like load optimization plans or dispatch information or this or that. Like you might not want to hurt that truck or that driver at all. It's just the means to get into the network.
Sure. And so when we talk about getting into the network and network pivoting, can you talk a little bit about what that is? So let's say that a truck or a vehicle was breached, it goes back to home base and then can infect the IT network. Is that done via something over the air? Is it a physical connection that would need to be made? Just in your opinion, what would be kind of, how would that happen?
Oh, it could happen a lot of different ways. And I mean, we could talk through different use cases and stuff, but I mean, ultimately, like, where there's a will, there's a way, especially with technology, like, well, you know, it could get figured out. But like network pivoting and stuff, like if you imagine, I'm just going to say like an executive assistant, right? Like they're probably not going to have access to the engineering file share where all the intellectual property is, right? But say like you're able to trick the administrative assistant into clicking a link and you gain access to that person's laptop. Okay, you still can't get to what you want, which is that intellectual property, right? So then you use the access that you gained into that laptop to move to the next part, right? Like maybe you can get into a file share, drop some files there that someone will click on that'll infect their machine. Maybe you can get into this person or that person's or here or there. Like you figure out what the next node is. You pivot into that. And then the next person that opens that file that they found on a file share with an interesting name on it, like, why was that file there? They click on it, infects their machine. Next thing you know, now you have rights to the engineering share because it was an engineer that clicked on it. And so now you can get to what you're trying to get to, right? And so you keep pivoting through the network, gaining more and more access until you get to the place that you actually want to go to. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. It's devious, you know?
It takes time. Like it is, it takes a lot of thought. Like this isn't, I mean, there are cases where like, you know, some very famous like internet worm came out would just infect everything immediately and just swim and swim and swim. Right. That model is kind of over. Like there could be still stuff like that out there. Highly, highly advanced nation state level stuff. But, a lot of it is like, especially with the ransomware and the IP theft and things like that, like you actually have somebody connecting into that system, hands on keyboards, typing and doing like the reconnaissance, like going through each stage in the kill chain, right? And like until they get to what they're trying to get to.
Yeah. And so in a case where there's a breach and let's say that an asset network was breached, what would somebody do? So say my truck is breached, it's been infected. What would be a next step for a carrier?
Well, I mean, do they know yet? Because like, do they have any systems like a cyber intrusion detection system in the vehicle that's even going to even tell them that they were breached? Or because I mean, they're not going to do anything if they don't know. If they don't have the equipment in the vehicle, I'm not trying to make this a Fleet Defender sales pitch, but like if you don't have visibility into that system to even know you were attacked or you were infected, you're not going to do anything because you don't even know.
That's really right?
Interesting. It's a complete black hole.
Yeah. It is the back office network could get breached and you'd never know the starting point.
Right, exactly.
So then on that point, you know, what are some strategies that fleets can use to protect their IT networks and their asset networks? You know, of course, the obvious answer is a product like you're just talking about, an intrusion detection system on their actual platforms, on their trucks, on their vehicles, so that they know if there is a cyber incident that's happened. But, you know, what are some other strategies or products that they could use?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you kind of hit it on the head a little bit there with, I mean, you got to do a full risk management, you know, especially on the cyber side, like a cyber risk management plan, like actually tabletop out and really understand what are the threats that are out there and what is most likely to happen to you and what the impact is going to be should it happen, right? And I mean, and that's how, like, from a risk management perspective, like at a business level, like you make decisions on how to spend money, right? Like what could occur? How likely is it to occur? How bad would it be if it did occur? That kind of a stuff. And people don't even realize that their connected assets can start being used in that way. And so like, you've already probably got like some of these risk management plans in place and stuff, and you just got to expand that model out to include connected assets and then determine, you know, how big of a threat is this? And I mean, I can tell you all day how big of a threat it is because we're tracking every threat that's out there, you know, and both on the government side and the commercial side. But, you know, you got to make a determination on, you know, how big is this to your company? I mean, let's talk about like lawsuits alone, like stuff like this happens, like on average, a lawsuit against a logistics carrier is like an impact of $10 million. Like that's pretty sizable. That's huge. And that's just to get you back on your feet. Then, well, now you have to spend a lot more money, like remediating the issue and everything else, but you might not even know what the issue is. You might be completely in the dark on how they did it. And so, I mean, I think that's where like, you got to have sensors that give you the data so you can make decisions. And I mean, ultimately, that's what a cyber intrusion detection system is, right? Like it's a sensor that's monitoring the networks to make sure that you're not being breached. And you got to cover every endpoint, and your endpoint is now extended out to that connected asset.
Yeah, kind of building it into the overall structure that you've built your IT network into, right? Something that's watching, that's sensing, and then making decisions based off that. I know it reminds me a bit of, we've talked about autonomous vehicles and have talked with a few autonomous vehicle makers about including our cybersecurity ECU into their vehicles as another input. So similar to, you know, how a LiDAR camera is taking in an input of the street or how the road's curving, is it can also take in cybersecurity threats and information to make decisions there as well.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. It's just another sensor. Like, you could go to any IT administrator out there and be like, hey, why don't you like not use a cyber intrusion detection system, or not use a SIEM, or not use, you know, antivirus, or not use a firewall? Like, why don't you do that? And they're going to look at you like, yeah, there's no way. Like, we're putting in antivirus, we're putting in intrusion detection systems, like, we're putting in firewalls. Why would you not do that to your vehicle as well?
Yeah.
It's connected to everything. Why would you not protect it in exactly the same way? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think that's, you hit it on the head, which is most people probably don't realize how connected vehicles are now. I mean, they are scary connected now.
Right. And let me ask you this. If your engine manufacturer has a box in their engine that connects to their backend network that's monitoring all that data, why would you not be concerned about that? It is a link to your vehicle that you do not control. You have to trust the engine manufacturer to have done their due diligence and done all the right engineering and cybersecurity and everything else to protect that link to your engine, to your vehicle.
Right. And something that you don't have an option.
Right. This is scary, right? Because now, and you know, we've been talking to some of these, like, you know, big truck carriers and stuff. And they're like, look, we've got 8 different cellular modems in our vehicle, 8 different connections to that vehicle through their telematics, their ELD, through their engine, through this, through that. Trailers, guess what? Trailers, smart trailers, they're becoming connected too. Like, how can you, as like the chief information officer, the chief information security officer that's looking at a vehicle, secure a vehicle that has 8 different connections, 7 or 6 of which you don't even control? Like, that's why you need to have that insight into, like, is something coming through that engine network? Is something coming through that? Like, you got to have that kind of insight to protect your assets, or else you're going to be left sitting on the side of the road facing a big lawsuit.
Well, yeah, and you would never do that with your IT systems. You know, I think it's just the speed at which vehicles have evolved with connectivity. Whereas in the IT world, you know, every step of this evolution, there was attacks, there were breaches, there were reasons to stop and add in protection layers. And with vehicles, I mean, we're just getting started with connectivity, and it's already
And we're seeing more and more news about it, right? Like, let's not even talk about classified information on the government side that talks about all the threats and everything going on. Let's just talk about what you see in the news. API vulnerabilities that have 16 million cars across major OEM. You know, the NSA last year releasing the hack that, like, attackers could cause the brakes on the trailer to just lock up and nothing the driver can do about it. Like the John Deere hack, where they could just brick all the, or erase all the firmware in the combine to essentially brick it, just make it a big paperweight. It doesn't even operate anymore. I mean, time and time again, like, we're seeing more and more news stories coming out about this happening. And, you know, it's coming to a point to where people cannot ignore it any longer. It's here. It's not coming. It's already here.
Right. And that's where, you know, we enjoy all the benefits of all this technology and connectivity. And, you know, we've talked about a lot of that in previous episodes, but you got to protect it. As IT learned the hard way, let's not make the same mistakes.
Exactly. Yep. Spot on.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Terry, thank you so much for joining today. This was a great conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this was a fun one. I always love this stuff.
Oh, yeah. And if you'd like to learn more about intrusion detection systems and protecting your connected fleets, check us out at fleetdefender.com. We'd love to chat. All right. Thanks, everybody.